Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word Sexy Radio. This is Word Sexy Radio for Monday, June 6th, 2011. I'm your host, Red Snapper, coming at you with all that we do. We have two special guests coming on tonight. Miss Electa Rome Parks will be here, along with Miss Andrea Clinton, both phenomenal authors, bringing you the latest and upgradest. So sit back and get ready for the erotica that will come as we bring you World Sexy Radio.
Get you in the mood and get you ready to go.
the Word Sexy Radio on this Monday, June 6, 2011. I'm your host, Red Snapper, and I think we got my sidekick here. Is DV, are you there?
Yeah, it's me, man. What's happening?
Hey, brother, how you doing? Glad to have
man.
You on the show.
Glad to be here.
What's going
man.
On, man? Tell us what's going on with you before we get our guests on.
Man, I can't complain. You know, getting ready for this summer swing, you know, book tours and pretty much like 2 to 3 cities out of every month. So, you know, I'm gearing myself up for that, trying to get slim, you know.
Okay.
And I ain't trying to be the chubby brother selling erotica, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we don't want you to be like that. You know, that's why I lost 55 pounds myself, brother. I don't want to be chubby when we get up there to St. Louis and, you know, do our thing up there. So,
but I
we're glad to have you on the show, man. And we know you're going to do your thing.
Of course. That's what I'm here for. Especially, you know, now that I'm familiar, you know, with tonight's guest, so, you know.
Okay.
Like, that's what I'm here for.
Well, all right. Well, you know, this is just you, the regular on the show, so we know how that goes, being a sidekick and all. All right, now we're going to see if we have any of our special guests that's coming on, because if you don't know, we're going to have Miss Electa Rome Parks tonight, and we're also going to have Miss Andrea Clinton. They're both going to be here, and I think we may have them now. Let's see what we have here. Could you speak, please? And I know this number is 732 area code. Who are we speaking with?
This is Andrea. How you doing?
Hey, Andrea. How you doing? How's
I'm all right. Hanging in there.
Okay. All right. And let me see if we got Miss Electa here. Are you there? Hello? Okay. All right. We have somebody. I hear some static, so we'll try to see if we can fix that. But we do have Andrea here right now. So we'll start with her, and we'll just kind of go down the line. So, Andrea, tell us, tell our audience a little bit about you and who you are and what you've been doing so we can get them up to speed, and then we'll go from there.
All right. Well, I'm Andrea Clinton, known or beginning to be known as George Clinton's niece. I am George Clinton from P-Funk, for those who may not know or remember.
You know, I thought he was one of his songs.
Oh, really?
I didn't want to get you upset. I was going to play a flashlight or something because that was back in the day when I was coming up, you know, the house parties. We was doing that flashlight.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, so, you know, I was going to do that, but I didn't know. We might still play that during the show because we got a 90-minute show, so we may do that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. I have had a couple of publicists that told me there's no way around it. They said people are going to ask you about him for sure. And then eventually,
well,
you know when you make it big, they're going to be asking him about you.
Exactly. So, that's how it works. But
yeah.
DB, go ahead and say hi to Andrew.
How
Hello.
You doing, Andrew?
See,
I'm
fine.
So
how
I'm
you
a,
doing?
See, my father was a DJ, so, you know, I grew up in the house with George Clinton. So, you know, he was real big in inspirational when I was growing up. And you know how the music is. It gets you dancing. So,
you know,
I certainly didn't want to take it that level. You know, I wanted to kind of, you know, keep, you know, my youth separate from, you know, what we're talking about tonight. So, you know, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you as well.
Yeah, Andrew, he's a bullshitter. I forgot to tell you, he
oh,
likes
really?
To bullshit. So I
he's an, he's an artist.
That's what he does. He likes to lie and act like he's innocent and shit when he's really, really not. But anyway, just want to let you know that. But, because I remember seeing your uncle in concert, and then we're going to get off of him. Because it's not about him.
No,
but I seen him when he did that mothership landing here in Kansas City when he landed in the Arrowhead Stadium, and that was just awesome, you know, back then. So we loved it. So, but let me see if we got we see if we have Electa here on the line. I'm trying to see if she's here. Electa, are you there? Okay, no, she must not be. Anyway, all right, we're gonna go ahead on and go forth. So. We now know that you are the niece of George Clinton. What do you have going on that you're doing? Because you have a lot of phenomenal things that's going on in the literary world and your company and everything, and we want to hear about that. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place. You know, I'm praying that, you know, I actually talked to a couple of fellow authors and publishers, the really kind ones that don't mind sharing, and I told them that I wanted to, you know, meet and consult because I think what's happening, because my hands are in so many different places, it's starting to get all whirly twirly, but I have the book Life Knows No Bounds. The first book is One Who Loves You More. It's a series, Life Knows No Bounds.
Uh-huh.
And in the series,
right.
The first book is One Who Loves You More. We interviewed about that before. And
uh-huh.
That book has been out for a minute. And I'm actually working on a second edition. I'm trying to hype that out really good, get some people to, you know, I'm looking and seeking to get like a Tavis Smiley and Cornel West and a few others. I'm even asking my uncle to write a foreword about the male characters in the book. And then I'm seeking to get like a Whoopi Goldberg and, you know, a few other women to talk about the mothers in the book, you know, just to kind of give some insight on the second edition. But that's a work in progress. That's for the second edition of this first book that I'm hoping to come out in 2012 by fall. And I'm also working on this first book becoming a play. I got picked up by our producer, Dee Spencer, who is a DJ, actually, a radio DJ, and she's also, well, actually a radio manager, radio station manager and DJ, and she's also in a play right now called One Drop, and it's playing in Brooklyn at the Robeson Theater. So, you know, I'm doing a whole lot. Like I said, I'm getting the book into become a play. I'm trying to get the second edition out. I also have another novel coming out, A Blessing and a Curse, in the fall. And that's the second book in the series, the Life Knows No Bounds series. And then there is a nonfiction book to help high school and college students with writing essays, and it's called Shortcuts to Great Writing. So right now, that's what I'm working on. And then in July, I'll be writing the actual play, taking it from the book format, putting it into the play format so that we can start reaching out to some executive producers and start making that play happen in 2012.
All right, so, you are busy. Wow, go ahead,
Too busy.
Go ahead.
And I got the Amistad newspaper, so it's just kind of crazy right now. My head is spinning.
Is it spinning? But see, that's what you want, though, because that's how you are. Because, I mean, remember we talked before when we was talking about how entrepreneurship you had going on, everything you were doing. And you've been even giving me some pointers on what to do at my company as well, which I really appreciate. Especially the part about, you know, selling you as – like Zane does. She doesn't put the name of her company on her book. She puts her name. Because
yeah,
she's
branding
the brand.
Herself.
So Zane
yeah.
presents. So, you know, you gave me that, and I really appreciate it. Go ahead, Dee Dee.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, like, quick question. Like, I am not familiar with the Life Knows No Bounds series. So, for those people who are not familiar with it, can you open up a little and tell us what about fiction, nonfiction, you know, what type of genre is it, inspiration or what have you?
Sure. Well, Life Knows No Bounds is a series that I started because of the different issues that happen in our daily lives. We have a lot of life events, be it marriage, death in the family, tragedy, you know, birth. It could be anything from good to bad and in between. And a lot of times you find people, they become drunkards or they do drugs or they commit suicide or they just become depressed, manic, bipolar, schizophrenic. You know, it just kind of takes them in all kind of directions. And so because I had some experiences with different things and I kind of saw certain things and, you know, kind of felt I had a little remedy for them, I decided that I wanted to start the Life Knows No Bounds series and then just kind of attack each issue that I felt was kind of pertinent or that I see a lot of people going through by putting it into fictional stories and making them all part of the series. And so Life Knows No Bounds is the first book, and I wrote it because I noticed a lot of young girls were out there using men for money. And not in the conventional sense, which is still wrong, but they have, like, made it into, like, a whole game, you know. They don't keep a man for too long. They only keep him long enough to be able to get him for whatever they can get him for, credit cards, money, jewelry, whatever. And then they dump him before he wants to have sex, and they get another one. And they don't just get one. They have a couple of them, you know. They'll have one dropping off and one's picking them up. It's like a real 9-to-5. And they have to keep themselves beautiful and really gussied up, you know, so that the men will find them, you know, attractive and, you know, got to have them. And they do seek out the ones, if they're in their teens to their early 20s, they seek out the ones to, like, their mid-30s on up to, like, their 50s because they know they're going to appreciate their youth. So there's a lot of thought behind this. And I'm like, if you can use that energy, you know, to get you a trade or a degree, you know, imagine, you know, what you could do with yourself. So I used the book to just kind of show what becomes of a gold digger, and that's really the motto or the tagline that I try to go, you know, with. And it kind of shows.
I might be in that situation. Damn. Okay, good.
See?
I hope not, but anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to say it, man.
Well,
damn.
Step back and take a look at it. That's all. You know, one day don't trip for lunch or dinner or don't get a credit card or don't buy the jewelry. You know, if you start looking like you're not getting no phone calls, you'll know. You know,
yeah,
believe me,
they
got a whole system to it, and it's just kind of amazing. I talked to a lot of the girls. I even called people that I knew in different states, from California to Indiana, Chicago, down south. You know, I was calling everywhere just, you know, asking, you know, doing like a little survey to find out, like, is this just here on the East Coast up north, or, you know, is this around about? And I pretty much found out that it's across the board. I mean, don't get
wow.
me wrong, we knew it was gold diggers, but we didn't know that they was, it's almost like prostitution. You know how the men come with prostitution? They come in and gone.
Right.
As soon as they get dropped off, they get
right.
picked up. It's almost like
right.
that, except these girls, they feel okay with it because they're not sleeping with them. You
wow.
know, so, and in the book, you see a lot of it. It doesn't just touch on it. It touches on it in the beginning, and then it shows her trying to, her mother and her family get on her back and tell her, you know, you need to get a trade or a job and stop doing this. How am I supposed to look? And so, you know, the daughter's like, all right, let me just get, one guy. So she goes and get a big drug dealer. Like, this is her way of, you know, toning it down so she can
right.
stop hearing her mother's mouth for a little bit. So she takes a different detour, but her friends continue on. And so she's, you know, still doing, she's still using. It's no different. Like she said, she just got one man as opposed to a bunch. So instead of getting a guy who makes 60, 70, 80,000 a year, she's getting a guy who makes that much in about a month, you know?
Yeah.
So she's pretty much still doing the same thing, just one man, less headache or whatever. So,
wow.
you know, like I said, it goes into a lot of details, and I write on realism and naturalism, so there's a lot of real situations going on. There's a lot of play on the sexual drive and a lot of play on the self-preservation drive, you know, where people are doing things for money or based on lust and things like that. It's no sexual content like my friend here, Red Snapper.
well, DV is an erotic author himself, so.
Yeah.
He's got his book out too. He's out there too.
yeah. So
yeah.
No, it's not erotic. It is realism. And if anybody who knows about realism and naturalism, those books came out in, or that genre came out in the late 1800s. And so, you know, you put a lot of focus on the main character and what they do and why they do it. Like, realism is what they do, and naturalism goes into why they do it. Like, you know, their thought patterns, their behavior, how they were raised, their environment, you know, like a lot of factors come into play, you know, their religion, their
mm-hmm.
culture, you know, so you kind of let all of that shine in the book, but it's still all wrapped around, focused and centered on the character. Like, it's
right.
not on a theme, it's not on the plot, it's not on any of that, it's just the character. It's almost like,
right.
you know, let's say you got this girl you're talking about here, that you say
uh-huh.
you may be in that situation. Imagine just kind of sitting back. Imagine
mm-hmm.
just kind of sitting back and looking and trying to figure her out. And you're thinking about, okay, now why does she do that? What is she thinking? It's just like all focused around that character. And that's how this book is. It's revealing everything about the character. You know,
wow.
the flaws.
Maybe I should. I need
like,
to read it. I need to definitely read that. I mean, I got to check it out. But anyway, I think we have a hand. We might have a question here. Caller is calling out of Wichita. State your name and where you're calling from out there. I know it's Wichita.
It's,
what's your name,
man? My name is Larry.
How you doing?
All right, how y'all doing?
Just in case y'all didn't realize, this voice, you know this voice, it sounds kind of like mine because this is my brother. Yeah, he's a big-time Parliament fan. I guess he decided he wanted to call in. But anyway, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing just fine. I was just calling, and I wanted to tell y'all that I believe that what y'all doing is a very positive thing. And what I've heard so far is very, very, very interesting. And I think that, you know, a lot of people from what y'all talking about and everything and what I've heard, I think that a lot of people need to hear those things. Realism,
mm-hmm.
like what you're talking about, is it needs to be put out there a lot more. Because real-life situations, I think that a lot of people live in fantasy and they are misled.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're misled
yeah.
because they look at TV and they see a lot of various different things that influence them. And then you got the women, just like the men. Now, let's talk about the men.
Yeah.
The men is jacked up, you know what I'm saying, because they want to do exactly the opposite of what the women is doing. They want to do the same thing, but it's like it's all this game all the time. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's tired. It really is, because it just shows how people's self-esteem and stuff like that. I just feel like that when men do it to women, it makes the women do it to men.
Yeah, it is. It's a,
hey,
it's
that's
a vicious
a good point.
Circle.
That's a real, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell people all the time, a lot of men don't, I analyze a lot. I analyze probably too much. You know, prior to writing, I was going to be a psychiatrist, so maybe that has a lot to do with it. But I noticed that, and I saw it coming, I swear to y'all, I saw this coming over 10 years ago with the generations going. I was in my early 30s, and I was noticing the behavior of the younger generations, and I was seeing the girls go from, you know, oh, baby, please, you know, I just want to be there for you, why you treat me like that. I was seeing it like, from that to them flipping the bird, like, F you too. And then it was going from that to like, okay, they weren't saying nothing. And when a woman, when you do something, and I've heard it in many songs, when you do something to a woman and she don't say nothing, it's coming back. She's going to get you back. And I saw the girls, and at the time I was with my ex-husband, and I told him, I said, you see this? I said, the women are no longer complaining because they're joining them. They've begun to join the men in their game, and now that's what you see.
Yeah.
And it's full-fledged now. It's hard. I don't, honestly, it's really hard. I don't even know how to talk to the young girls no more.
Do you think it has a lot to do with this, and I'm going to let DeeDee speak in a minute. Do you think it has something to do with the way things have flipped as far as women being independent and jobs and stuff like that, not needing men for money and that kind of thing? Do you think that has some influence in that as well? I mean, I know it's not probably on the street, but because what you're saying is mostly street things that go on. But I know in the corporate world it's like that as well. Do you think that a lot of that has something to do with that changing and you know, not needing a man, maybe just for sex or whatever, and then get rid of his ass or what? What do you think?
I think it played a huge part in inspiring them to move forward in that, you know, flip the bird, F you, you know, type of attitude.
Right.
Because you got to remember, you got to think about it. We got 365 days in a year. And for 365 days in a year, this woman has to wake up, get ready for work. If she got kids, get the kids to work, drop them off, go to work, come on. You know, the whole vicious circle. And she has to do this 360, well, except for the weekend, you know, and then to do this and make your own money and then have to put up with some man's or some whoever your partner's bullcrap. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, well, what am I doing? So you begin to stop and reflect. And in your reflection, you begin to see what's going on. And some people will join you. They'll join you in your bull crap. And I hate to say this, you know, I don't know, for any of you who don't know, I am Muslim. And so with that became a lot of, like, maturity. But prior to me following Islam, you know, properly, I was just like any and everybody else out there, and you better believe I was one to be reckoned with. Don't mess up in the relationship. That's all I'm going to tell you one time, because you will live to regret it. And it don't always have to be that I'm a cheat. And this is what I'm saying. I kind of saw it coming firsthand because I myself had began to get that attitude. I never cheated, but I would say, okay, I get you. And I was young.
Right.
I was in my early 20s. And I would say, I was raised by some vipers. You hear me? They were vipers. I'm serious. And, and that's why I tell people in a heart, men, I tell them in a heartbeat, I'm not the one. If you even think that you got game or whatever, move on. Because I tell you, I will get you. And they tried, and they got. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it, but I'm just saying.
Well, it's life. It's life.
But here's the thing. The interactions that we have,
go ahead.
No, but the interactions, that we have between each other are really learned. You know, they're not inherent in us. And basically what it is, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm.
If you got a mother who raised you and she tells you that men ain't shit, you know, excuse my language, then when you first meet a man, you're going to give him the benefit of the doubt until something goes wrong. And it will inevitably go wrong. So that's the persona that you take. Men ain't shit. So that when you meet this next man, he has to jump over hurdles and prove himself. And then when y'all break up, guess what? Now he's jaded. So he thinking, well, all my boys told me that women ain't shit. So now it becomes a cycle. It becomes a vicious cycle that is harder and harder to break away from. So now you got all these parents. Now you got these people from the 60s, 70s, and 80s that are now parents who are now telling their kids the exact same thing that their parents told them, and now their kids are more jaded, and their kids are harder. Man, kids don't even know respect is. If I'm driving down the street, they'll walk across the street like they slow. You know, like if you run me, I dare you to run me over. Back when I was growing up, they ran us over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's like, you know, and it was just kind of one of the things like, you better move out. You kids don't play in the street. Nowadays, everybody's afraid of kids. Why? Because the government says, or your state government says you can't do this to kids. You can't hurt your kids. Mm-hmm. You can't beat your kids. You can't yell at your kids. You can't smack your kids. So now everybody's afraid to do these things to kids, afraid, you know, afraid of litigation, afraid of getting their kids ripped.
I'll
so
light them up.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'll light them up. I'll be in jail.
Like the thing is, like, I own my own home. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And when kids come over, to cut my lawn or whatever, they know to call me Mister before they say anything.
That's right.
You know, hello, Mister So-and-so, can I cut your lawn? You don't just walk up to my house like, you want your lawn cut? No, that's not how you come up to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always about, my parents raised me with respect, so I will always have respect. Even if I meet a woman who doesn't have it, I will give her as much respect as she shows me she deserves.
Right.
If she shows me she deserves none, then I'll walk away. There's no reason to disrespect her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That will always be my philosophy.
And the funny, I feel the same way, and that's why, like, in the book, what I did, I put, everybody was wondering to me, like, why couldn't, like, when they read the book, how come her mother didn't just bust up? I said, first of all, the girl's out of high school, and you know how that is. The Lord, you know, kind of sends you these mixed signals where they're grown, but they're not grown. They can't drink, but they can go to war. You know, you can't beat on them or whatever. They got these rights. You know, it's just crazy. They could drop out of high school at 16, but they can't smoke a cigarette. You know, it's all of this kind of mixed message kind of thing. And so in the book, I showed her saying something similar, but then I also show where you would probably have that attitude, like what her mother would say, look, you get it together or get out. But her mother can't. Like, all she could do is kind of fuss at her from a distance and feel like she's chopped off. But that invisible barrier, that thing that's there blocking her from being the mother she should be, is exactly what you said. It's the law. It's the law.
Right,
and so that's
right.
Why the daughter misbehaves and uses men and runs her crazy and her friends and all. That's why they're off the chain the way they are. And that's why the mother feels like her hands are kind of tied, because now she's older. You can't pull out a belt and beat her. You could have do it when she was younger. You know, so
right.
All of that, it's kind of funny that you said it because, you know, when I was writing it, I was putting it all in there just like that because she had to be a loose cannon. What mother that properly raises her child would allow their child to be a loose cannon like that?
Exactly, none. So, caller, do you have another question?
I did. I had one more question that I'd like to say. I just got out of a relationship, and, you know, I kind of see this here is a different focus. It's like the woman that I was involved with, she, I guess the previous relationships that she had been involved in had destroyed her so bad that she brought it into our relationship, and it just affected everything that went on between me and her. And what I'm trying to say is that if you got it in your mind that people is going to hurt you in whatever relationship that you get in and not be forgiving, you know what I'm saying, then that's just going to tear your life up, period. Because I had to think about that, because it made me feel like that, okay, she's been hurt by this person. Every time we have a little argument or we disagree about something, then she want to bring up some things about, you know, her previous relationships and all that type of stuff. What I'm trying to say is this. There is a lot of different things that's destroying black people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people in general. It's not just black people, but
yeah,
everybody.
It is
because,
it's
crazy because, you know, the way I see it is that here it is, I am, like what you were saying about the women, how you wake up and you take care of the children and all that stuff. I was in that situation. I took care of these kids. They weren't mine, but I loved them as if they were mine. I fixed breakfast. I cleaned the house. I did all these various different things to help her, and she still didn't appreciate it.
It's like that. It's like that. But then if she didn't have it, she'd be wishing she had it. That's just how it is.
There and
no.
She tells her girlfriends, you know what I'm saying? Well, I ain't going to do nothing for no nigga. I ain't doing nothing for no nigga. You know what I'm saying? Now, when you sit there and you hear these things, you tend to believe, okay, well, I'm not doing that for no woman because all women think that way. But I don't think that shallow because I believe that. I just believe that when people have been hurt, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they carry those things and they don't know how to forgive and all that type of stuff. But the point that I'm trying to get to right now is that I wish somebody would write a book on forgiveness. Won't you write it?
Yeah. Yeah, really, because
you could,
but you probably should, because you have the passion. You know, when you feel something like that deep, you'd be surprised what you turn out, you know, on the pages. You know what I mean? You have enough examples, you know, going on from either your life or from people that you know. You probably really push a really good book out there.
Yeah, man, insight is invaluable.
That's a good idea. Because
I tell you,
things.
Well, I'm pretty similar, you know, not to, you know, put my business out there or nothing, but it's kind of hard after, you know, having been with, you know, people in the past and a failed marriage, it's kind of hard to start again, you know what I mean, and get out there and think you could trust people. And I know people might say, well, wait a minute, didn't she say she was Muslim? But even Muslims are human, you know what I mean? They make,
right,
you know, mistakes, and they have their struggles between good and evil as well, you know. So it's just a matter of opening up your heart and trying again. And it's not easy, because you can, you know, the thing is you can point fingers and say, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just saying in general, you know, like how come people don't open up, how come they don't do it? But feelings are precious. And when people smash them and break them, I told my daughter and I told my sister and I've told other people in the past, I was like, do you know what it's like to have your heart broken and you in the bed just tossing and turning? 1 minute seemed like 100 years. A night seemed like forever.
I've been through that.
You see what I'm saying?
I've been through that.
So you don't want to put your feelings out there like that.
Yeah. I'll be the first to say, I ain't been there yet, so, you know, don't plan it out.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Everybody's
really, really
do a turn. It's coming.
But
I hate to say it like that.
I'll tell you this much. What I'd like to have from you is I'd like to have a copy of your book and a picture with your autograph.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I'll do that. I'll give you my well, Red has my information, but I'll definitely I'll give you my website too. It's www.aroundthewaypublishing.com, and my email is what is my email? aroundthewaypub at AOL.com. And if you email me, you know, we'll get in touch like that, you know, and then I'll send it to you and everything. Yeah, but I think honestly, I let my son read my book because I'm an English teacher as well, and I gave him that book as one of the stories. You know, you can't give it to everybody's kids, but I gave it to mine.
Right.
I said, because I want you to know about women. I said, because the thing is, I'm seeing so many people, you know, have the best of intentions, and then next thing you know, they're either married or they have a baby's mama, and then they have a struggle because the baby's mama ain't right, and they got to get the child and all of that. And I didn't want to see him run into that, because he has, you know, he wants to be a professor, and, you know, he's getting ready to graduate next year, God willing, and so he has a lot of good plans, but we know that God is the best planner. So I'm telling him, you know, focus and pay attention and watch these girls. And they off the chain. We in the car. My son be pointing. He be saying, "Mommy, you see her?" I'm like, "Oh, ain't that someone?" So he said, "You just don't know." These girls are off the chain, and they think they be impressing these boys, and they're not.
They are.
That some of them they may be, but some of them they're not, because, see, you know, uncles and fathers and stepfathers or whatever, they always putting the son down or something. You know, I remember when I was young, the thing used to be, don't get serious with no girl, you too young. So when I started hearing my uncles tell my cousins and brothers that, don't try to get me for a girlfriend, whether I was 13, 14, 15, 17, I didn't care, because I already know what y'all being told. So I ain't putting my feelings into it. I remember I had a boyfriend on at my grandmother's house, around my mother's house, at my other grandmother's house, and at my aunt's house. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
They was being told. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to stop talking now because I...
No, I mean, you human.
No, that's
like you said, it's okay. That's real.
I really believe that one main thing about a relationship that I've learned that played a big part in my life today is that you got to know yourself before you can know and recognize other things, other people. Because how are you going to be able to avoid various different things if you can't see what you need to see within yourself? Because first you got to like yourself, you got to love yourself, and then you can see that in the other person, because then you know what to look out for. You know, you can see
and
the game.
The love yourself splits off into two different directions that I'm sure there's more, but I'll bring up two. One, love yourself so much that when you are liking someone or considering someone to be in your life, that if you see it's not a fit, You don't force it. You don't shove a shoe on your foot when it don't fit because it's going to hurt. So don't shove the person in your life if they're not going to fit. You see what I'm saying? Because it's going to hurt
right.
when it hits the fan. You know, and that's
right.
what we have to learn, male or female. We have to learn it. Because you can have a male who's a player, and then all of a sudden he get caught off guard, and he finds somebody that he likes. But because you decided to calm down don't mean that that was Mrs. Right. It could be the one
right.
that's going to give you yours back, you know?
That's
so
it.
Exactly.
We do have
so
to
DV,
we have to do
think,
that.
Man?
And we have to
yeah.
let go.
DV being quiet back there. I'm trying to figure out what's up, man.
yeah, I did hear some, yeah.
He must be gone.
DV. Oh, okay. Maybe he dropped off. Okay. All right. Well,
I appreciate y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm learning to settle myself down and listen, and to learn as much as I can. Because if I decide to get into another relationship, which I know I probably will later on or whatever, but you know I want it to be the best. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? I want to put the effort in, and I want to be with somebody that's thinking. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
I think that a lot of people like me, when I was younger, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't considering the other
right.
person's feelings.
Yeah.
You know, all I thought about
that's
was myself
we
and what
may,
I want.
We may have another call here. Let me see real quick. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
I see a hand caller. You state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, yo, Red, it's me. My phone battery went dead.
Yeah, we was wondering, man, because I was calling. I was like, where'd he go? DJ.
That joker
okay.
is just like, hey, man, it was just like, boo-doo. And I was like, hello.
Yeah. I knew you would just jump off. But anyway, okay. Okay. Well, I was supposed to have 90 minutes today, but some reason Blog Talk only gave me an hour today, so we got about 23 minutes. And we want to give Andrea a chance to talk a little more about some of the upcoming projects and tell people how they can get your books as well.
All right. Well, I'm on Amazon.com. If you buy from Cupcake Status, who was one of the sellers on Amazon, you'll get the new cover. That's the only way I can assure you that you'll get the new cover, because some people have the old cover. And for some reason,
uh-huh.
instead of putting the old cover up there, they're tucking it up under the new cover. So some people are buying it and getting the old cover. So if you buy from seller Cupcake Status on Amazon, you'll get the new cover, and I'll autograph it. And it's being sold also on Barnes & Noble, but, of course, you can go to your local bookstore or Barnes & Noble, and, you know, they'll order it for you. It doesn't, you know, take them but a minute to get it in a day or two. You can also go to my website, and you can buy it, www.aroundthewaypublishing.com. And what else? What else did you ask me? I'm sorry. I'm getting old. All
right. No,
we got so deep into the panel discussion.
You already kind of told them already what you had coming up and everything. So
yeah,
I just look, you know, you still got about 21 minutes. So I'm just, you know, can't wait to see when the play comes out and all that. And are you gonna just do it in New York, or are you gonna just try to?
No. That's why we're looking for executive directors, because we're trying to push this thing around the nation for starters. I mean.
Right.
Let me tell you, everything I'm doing, I'm trying to do it, you know, national. I'm not even trying to do it local. Like, even with my books, I'm opening up accounts
right.
over in England. I opened up one over in the whole of Europe through another account, and then even getting ready to go through Australia through another distributor. So, you know, I'm trying to be all over the place. And that's the thing. It's taking, with this publishing thing, it takes time. If you want to make the money, you have to have the patience, because we're not, like, rich.
Exactly.
We don't just, we can't go in the bank and just, you know, get a suitcase of money. So it takes a little
what?
Money, and then things start
what
happening.
DV, you thought you could do that?
Yeah, man, that's what I needed. That's what I did last week. We went to the bank.
Oh,
I was like, I need the suitcase, y'all. And they was like, here you go.
Yeah, okay. And
well,
then we saw him on the news.
The publishing group wants to do that, so I need to get with you. I need to get in a partnership with you or something, because
yeah.
I need my company to expand in that fashion as well, because I'm going to start signing some authors here probably next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may sign maybe two or three authors, and we'll go ahead and start trying to expand the company out. You know,
I'm not doing that right now, though. I'm not bringing on new authors right now, because the publishing in is like, so if you want to do it right, don't get me wrong, some people are doing it, and some people probably do have the means to do it right. So I'm not knocking anybody.
Right.
But if you want to do it right, this thing is huge, and it's
right.
changing
it
all the time. So I can't,
yeah,
right now, to be honest, I couldn't even bring anybody on. I wouldn't be able to do them any justice right now because right now I'm so busy pushing my. If I wasn't an author, it'd be different. If I was just a publisher, it'd be different.
Yeah.
But
right.
I'm an author myself. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
The time I spent pushing your book, I could have pushed mine and got some, you know, sales.
Yeah.
So right now I'm just not there. I think eventually, yeah, I do want to do it. Probably after another 2 to 3 years, because I think
right.
I may be where I want to be at that point, but not right now. Not until I'm cutting some checks that make me smile, you know?
I know that's right. Yeah.
And that's not, I'm not saying that to be selfish,
yeah.
but, you know, it wouldn't even
no,
be
no,
right
no, no.
to
that's
them,
not
you know?
Selfish. Actually, you're right. That is not being selfish because, you know, I mean, I want the company to be successful
yeah.
because I'm publishing my own books through my own company now. So
yeah.
that is the ultimate goal to do that. So, I mean, you know, like you said, the signing, you got to be ready and you got to be able to have something to offer and you got to be able to give them
yeah.
their just due. And
yeah,
you're
exactly.
awesome like I am too. It makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah, and so, you don't want them to – I don't want a sour taste in anybody's mouth because I'm kind of pissed at my
right.
distributor. I'm trying to bite my tongue and not say his name, but I'm really pissed
right.
at him because he tried to give me that little Hollywood talk. And I thought he
right.
was a nice guy, you know, and I went for it. But now he owes me thousands of dollars, so that's money I could have
yeah.
for my company. But because
right.
I was a shyster, you know, I got to,
Okay.
But I feel you, because, you know, that's my work philosophy. Look, you know, and I tell Red this all the time, you know, I'm the master of one trade and a jack of others. You know,
yeah.
I'll be the jack of many trades, but the master of one.
Yeah.
So while
well,
I'm mastering
one.
This one, you know, let me master this one before I'll go
yeah.
ahead and try to move on to the next one. And that's
yeah.
my thing. Because I'm an author, you know, working around my own business, I'd rather
mm-hmm.
master this aspect, you know, get the full understanding of what I'm doing before I decide to bring somebody else into the fold. Because if
yeah.
I don't master it, then we both in the same boat. We both
yeah.
kind of like, okay,
exactly.
so who's going to roar and who's going to steer? You know, so.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think
that's,
in the publishing.
Well, that makes sense. And that's why I like listening to you, Andrew, because you have always had some good counsel. That's why I listen to what you say. I'm serious.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, you do.
I need somebody to listen to, though.
Well, we all do. I mean, I don't know everything. You don't either, but the stuff
yeah,
that you've learned, you can help me with, and what I've learned, I can help you with, and what DV learned, you know,
yeah.
you can help me, and we can help each other, and that's what we need to do, I think, for us
yeah.
to be successful in our own right, instead of trying to step
Network.
On everybody else like we always do. You know,
yeah.
everybody,
you know what?
There's enough books out there for everybody to read. You know what I'm saying?
There
we don't
is.
Have to, not sell
really
your
is.
Book because I want to sell mine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
and you
saying?
Know what? I'm going to big up two people that really helped me out a lot. There was a lot of people that helped me, but I'm going to big up two people who constantly always helped me. And the first one is Meadows, who did Convict's Candy. You know, the brother
uh-huh.
who exposed the men in the prison, who the correction officers,
right.
you know, they messing with the men and coming home and trying to act like they ain't doing nothing but they closet cases and all that. He wrote about
right.
that, and he kind of schooled me on a lot of stuff that got me started, and he introduced me to some people that, you know, were real. And also,
uh-huh.
Al-Sadiq Banks gives me a lot of advice. He's just a really helpful brother, and I like the fact he's not stingy and selfish, and he's been doing this for a minute, you know what I mean?
And what's his
he's
name
happy.
Again? I'm sorry.
Al-Sadiq Banks. He's an author.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he's just a real good brother, you know what I'm saying? Just really nice. He doesn't mind... you know, helping and sharing, and he wrote Exit Wounds, and he's
yeah.
very, like I said, he shares, and so, you know, you could check him out yourself on Facebook, you know what I'm saying, I always write him, and, you
right.
know, you're probably friends with him, you know how we are friends and don't even know
it. Yeah,
don't know
exactly,
it.
Man, you know, that's right, because I got
yeah.
almost 5,000 right now, I'm like 499,
yeah.
499 or something like that,
yeah,
well, 4,000, I'm close to 4999, something like that, whatever, anyway,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, so that's really, you know, helpful, you know, to have people that do share. And then there's some people who, you know, they smile in your face and you know the rest of the song.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, because I've been in some of those situations too
yeah.
with other companies, other authors, and they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know why they think that their book is the only one that people are supposed to read. I mean, you got a bookstore.
First of all, it don't even last long.
They read you. That's what I'm saying. The book is the life of a book. If it's lucky, if it's blessed enough, made last a year.
Yeah.
If that, and then it's,
and,
that's why the brand is you, have to be you, not the book. But anyway,
yeah.
you know, it's just, you know, these people, I don't understand why they have to play that game. Like, nobody can be interested in nobody else's books but theirs, and that's it. But, you know, I'm not trying to dog my authors, I'm just saying. It's
some of them
are
like that,
out.
Though. It's just real.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, I'm
yeah.
like this.
Right.
If I don't want to be seen like a you-know-what, then I shouldn't act like a you-know-what. That's where I'm at. And I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody or whatever.
No, you're not.
No kind of pedestal. But if I don't like, if I don't want to be seen a certain way, I shouldn't act a certain way. And if I act that way, I have to know that one day somebody gonna call me out. And that's what it is.
Exactly.
It is what it is. And you know, like myself, and a few other authors, we talk. I interview with y'all. I mean, we got different interests. You have your radio show. You know, you big up other authors and stuff. You do your thing.
Right.
You know, some of us are cool with you. We come on and stuff like that. And it should be like that across the board. Some people two-faced. Some people biting off other people. You know, some people they just not nice. You know what I'm saying? Some of the work ethics are not nice. And while we at it, I'm gonna keep it real. I have a problem. Don't get me wrong. Everybody has a book in them. I honestly believe that. If you don't have but one, you have a book. Because everybody has a life. So everybody has a story. But it kind of bothers me that, you know, and I feel like everybody should write at least one book. You know, I don't have a problem with that. Well, get somebody to write this story or something that they knew and saw that might make a good book. No problem with that.
Right.
But I have a problem, and I probably sound like one of the bigger publishers, but I have a problem with some of the people that come on board. And just kind of the way, I don't know, it might sound horrible to say, I probably should
No, say it,
cause
just say it. Just say it,
because I'm about to say
it. Go ahead and say it, please.
I just have a problem with some the way certain practices. I feel like some of us are doing this as a way of life. Like, I'm an author. I will die with a pen in my hand. You know what I mean?
Right.
And even if it's just subliminally or in my brain, that's how I'm going to go out. I'm going to go out a writer. I write articles.
Right.
I write screenplays. I write books. I write.
Right.
And that's me. And some of us are just like that. And I understand some people have a book in them and they want to get it out. But some of the practices and some of the things that are done, they kind of like, it's almost like some people trying to get in the car or in the elevator and, you know, they squishing you all up and you're like, okay, but, you know, I'm trying to do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, I can't find the words because I guess I'm a little too emotional.
Now you know I want
the words
sample.
For you.
Huh?
Like,
go ahead,
Davey.
Go ahead.
No, real quick, like, on Facebook, me personally, I get called out a lot. And the reason why is because I think, and like you, I feel like everybody has a book. Not everybody should write that book. Maybe they should get somebody else to write it.
Yeah, ghostwriter.
Everybody, right. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is if you're gonna go out there and put out a book, do the best that you can with what you have. Don't put out some half-done book and then get mad when other people say, look, this book is half-done. You know, put out the best that you possibly can. So, but when I say that on Facebook, everybody look at me like I'm some sort of elitist. Like, oh, you don't know what it is to struggle. What does struggle have to do with vocabulary?
No, it's not that. You got the library with free books. This is what I'm trying to say. This is what my point is, that I got too emotional to get out. I studied 10 years. I studied the publishing business for 10 years, and I didn't study it because I wanted to be a publisher. A publicist pushed me to be a publisher. I really, right now, I told you this before, Red, if a publisher came along, a big one, and said, I'll give you a contract, you know, for 3 or 5 books, just shut down your business and come write for us. Or if they came and said they were going to offer me an imprint or something, I'm out. You hear me? I'm out.
Right.
Because this publishing thing is huge. I'm a writer. I'm not a publisher.
Right.
I mean, I know how to do it because I worked in the corporate world, so I know business and everything, but that's not me. I'm a writer, and right now this takes away from my creative thing I got going on. So, no, I don't want to do that. But some people, they just come in, they just come blasting in, and they're doing certain things, and, you know, I don't know. I just
wish you'd
feel
give
like
us an example. I know you don't want to say it, but I wish you'd give us
I just.
I want to know. You got 10 minutes. I just wanted to get a sample. God, but anyway,
I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, some people, they go to college for it. Some people go to the library for it. Some people do their research and their homework, and they learn, and they find out before they do it. And then some people, they don't do any of that. They learn by biting off others. You know what I'm saying? And that just bothers me because some of us who really want to do this, like I said, even if you have one book, like you said, do it right. And some of us who want to do it, we are really going hard at work. And it bothers me. I cannot lie. It bothers me because, like I said, I know I'm a writer. I'm not going to say how good I am because that depends on a person's taste and their opinion, you know, others' opinion.
Right.
But, you know, I'm a writer at heart. And to know that I put a lot of, you know, time going to college, I got a degree in film, I got a degree in English, I got a degree in journalism. So I really wanted to really make sure that I had this under my belt, so when I write, nobody don't slam it in my face and say, girl, don't get this mess out of here. You know, I put a lot into that. And then when I see somebody just roll over one day, you know, and just come out with something, and they're not even interested in it. They not. They just had something that they just wanted to do really quick. And I'm not knocking it. You should be able to do that. You should be able to try your hand at everything you want to do. But it's just the way that some people do it. And it make those of us who are making a career out of this or trying to build a career out of this, it just kind of, I just feel like it kind of knocks us out the box a little or stunts us or it just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know
it categorizes us.
I get it.
And it makes it hard for us when big publishers come. When they do come, they're like, oh, no, another one of them. Because I remember when I first learned that, you know, they had a problem with us unless we sold 10,000 books. And like I said, I've been studying the publishing business for a minute, and I read it some years ago that, you know, if you unless you sold 10,000 books, the big publishers don't want to look at you. But the reason why is because a lot of us will say, well, I want to write it the way I want. Screw them. I want to do this the way I want. Screw them. You know, I can't. If I decided one day I wanted to be a football player, I can't run up on a football field and say how I'm gonna do it, or I want to be on Wall Street. I can't run out there and say how I'm gonna conduct business. You know, it's every field has their they have their way of doing things. They have their structure. You know what I mean? I did go against the grain a little bit when I did mine, but I still tried to stay in the box. You know what I'm saying? Some people probably criticized the heck out of me, and they was right. And I went back and I fixed it because I said, okay, it didn't work. I tried it, it didn't work. And I fixed it. But some people, they don't even want to do that. And that's why a lot of the big publishers, they don't want them. They don't want to even look at us. We have to sell 10,000 books. And when they do take us, they say, okay, we're going to take you, but we're going to do it our way, the right way.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's if you sell 10,000.
Man, you hit the nail right on the head. Because then everybody want to do it their way and still call it literature. Literature has rules. You know what I'm saying? You can't do it your way and say, well, this is literature. No. Because there's a structure already in place. And all you have to do is follow that structure.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. And I told somebody this the other day. Literature there was here thousands of years before you existed. And literature be here thousands of years after you gone. So what makes you think you're going to change the rules?
Yeah, you can't. And if you do, you don't get me wrong. I think, like, for example, urban fiction, just like hip-hop, you know, people thought hip-hop was going to come and go. I remember going to a Catholic school, and I remember a lot of the white kids singing, you know, all that rap stuff is going to be going just like disco. They would tease me all the time. I was the one black kid in the whole, you know, high school or the junior high school, and they would tease me all the time, oh, rap's going to go just like, you know, disco. And then it didn't. You know what I'm saying? It's still around today. Some of it's sucky, but it's still around today.
Yeah.
When
and
rap started
think,
out, there was a conscious awareness. There was there was political struggle in the rap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
when it started, and that's
that.
What kept us going for a while.
Right.
And I just feel like with the writing, I feel like with the urban fiction, and don't get me wrong, when I say urban, it ain't black because I was with a distributor who had Hispanic urban authors and even had white urban authors. So sometimes we kind of feel like when even some of the industry, when they say urban, they automatically assume black. But if you go look up urban under Amazon, you're not just going to get black. You're going to get a whole bunch of other ones, you know. So, but in any case,
with Teresa Hernandez and a whole bunch of other authors that's out there that's writing.
Yeah, but
urban.
it's just that when you get what's happening that I do like about urban black urban fiction. Let me say that. What I do like about it is that it is creating its own rules. For example, the cover should look like this, you know. And what's happening is big publishers are accepting it because what's happening is selling. You know what I'm saying? It's something that's making them accept it. You know, like okay, they get a sexy girl on the cover, or they get some kind of situation on the cover, and it sells. So okay, they'll take that.
Right.
But that's not nothing bad. That's just saying okay, this is part of the category. You know, but when you start talking about you know going into the whole editing mode, you know. Just doing any and everything within the pages and in the words and the dialogue and things like that, it's problematic. And I guess what my problem is it makes it bad, especially if you are someone who just, you know, decided that you wanted to write a book because maybe you saw something and you thought that it's something that needs to be out there for people to read and learn from. That's good. But if you didn't do it the right way, then it's like contributing to those of us who do this and are trying to do this as a career. It's contributing to those big publishers skipping right over us or not even wanting to entertain or respect us as writers.
Or
and that's what I think. What I'm,
You know, they exploit us for the benefit of like, hey, this is selling, so let's jump on the bandwagon. Not really caring that it's, you know, like, I'm not going to just speak urban fiction because there's some great stories out there. You know, but I don't care what genre you're under. If you're being exploited and you're putting together a bad storyline, I don't care if you're Christian fiction, I don't care if you're erotica, I don't care if you're romance. If you half do something and they're exploiting that, you should be really ashamed. You know, you should just be like, okay, well, look, I want to better myself so that they can't exploit me or they can't use me for the benefit of making people, you know, making, you know, kids look dumb for reading this. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's my only qualm. I don't care. And, look, I get – and every time I say, you know, something about, you know, fiction as a whole, everybody thinks it's urban fiction when it's not. Because there's a lot of books out there that I have done that have nothing to do with urban fiction.
That's right.
You know? And the thing I'm saying is, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Just master what you're doing. Don't put something out because your favorite author put something out under the same genre. You know?
Right.
At least have a love and an understanding of what you're doing so that you have a love and a respect while you do it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. That's very
true. I agree with you. And I'm sorry that I kind of messed you up on 30 minutes, so I'm going to have to give you some more time on the show, and you have to come back, Andrea.
Oh, that's fine.
But Blog Talk kind of messed me up. You're supposed to have 90 minutes, but we got 3 minutes left. Is there anything you want to say right now before we go?
Yeah, I just want to say I hope everybody looks forward to the next book coming out, A Blessing and a Curse. It's about a girl who gets visions into the future. I'm taking you on a whole nother voyage with a whole lot of extra drama, and it's funny, and it's very teary-eyed, and everything else that you can expect, up and down on a roller coaster like my other books. So I'm looking forward to that coming out in the fall.
All right. Well, you let us know so we can get you back on the show, okay?
All right, great. I'll do that. Maybe by September.
Okay. All right. And we'll work
that
out for you,
summer.
Okay?
All right, then.
Okay.
We'll talk. You know, we always talk.
That's right. Okay. Well, we thank you for listening to Word Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and my sidekick, DV Hint, and we're going to get back with you next time. You got anything, DV, before we go? 2 minutes.
Oh, no. I was going to say, you know, paint the White House. I thought she was going to say something like paint the White House black, cause, you know. Maybe, you know, throw a little bop girl version in there.
Well, all aboard the mothership, huh?
Yeah, baby.
All right, well. Until next time, people.